Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 15. This is the word of the Lord. And they went to the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in the city some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Spirit forbade Paul to speak the word in Asia, and he did not allow him to enter Bithynia. And we are not told why it was so, only that it was so. And a man appears in a vision by night to Paul, and urges him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And Paul then understood that God was calling them to preach the gospel to those in Macedonia. And again, we are not told why it was so, only that it was so. And so we see that the Lord is sovereign. He is sovereign over the preaching of the gospel. It is his work and not ours. And though he appoints men to preach, and though he anoints them with his Spirit, they do not preach to their own glory, but to his. The Lord is sovereign over the preaching of his gospel. He sends the gospel where he wills. And here we see that he willed it to be sent to Macedonia. And so it was that Paul and his companions set sail to Macedonia. And at last they came to Philippi. But now something unexpected happens. We read that on the Sabbath day, they went outside the gate. Now, why is that unexpected? We might have expected that on the Sabbath day, we would find Paul going into the synagogue. For this is what we saw in Acts chapter 13. When Paul and Barnabas came to Antioch in Pisidia, on the Sabbath day, they went to the synagogue, and on the next Sabbath, they did the same. But in Philippi, it was not so. Now we may suppose that there was no synagogue in Philippi, though it does not say. But whatever the case may be, they went outside the gate to the riverside, where they supposed there was a place of prayer. And here too is something else that is perhaps unexpected, that they went outside the gate. But why might we say that that is unexpected? Well, we might have expected them to go to the gate. And why might we expect them to go to the gate? Who would be found at the gate? At the gate, we would expect to find the men of the city. And not only the men, but the prominent men, the leading men, as in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. But Paul and his companions, they do not go to the gate, but they pass through it. They go beyond it. They go outside it. Here we do not see them go to the men. Here we see them go to the women. They go to the riverside. And there they sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. And we are told that one of them was a woman named Lydia. And we are told several things about her. We are told that she was from the city of Thyatira, and that she was a seller of purple goods. Thyatira was known for its purple. And purple goods were for those of means, for those who had wealth. We see this in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and feasted sumptuously every day. Now Lydia is called a seller of purple, not a wearer of purple. And so we do not know that she was wealthy, though it does seem that she herself was a woman of means, for she had a house and a household, and still that house was large enough to show hospitality to several others. And we learn something else about Lydia. We learn that she was a worshiper of God. And so we understand that she was not a Jew, but a Gentile. But though a Gentile, she was drawn to the God of the Jews. Paul and his companions spoke to these women who had gathered in this place for prayer. They proclaimed the gospel to these women who had gathered there. We read that the Lord opened Lydia's heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And so we find that the Lord is sovereign not only over the preaching of the gospel, he is sovereign over the hearing of the gospel. The gospel is proclaimed according to his good pleasure, and it is heard according to his good pleasure. The hearing of the gospel with faith. It is his work, not ours. Why do we say that God is sovereign in the hearing of the gospel? What does it here say? It does not say that the Lord opened Lydia's heart because she paid attention to what was said by Paul. It says that she paid attention to what was said by Paul because the Lord opened her heart. It is what we saw with those Gentiles in Acts chapter 13, who heard the gospel with joy. There we are told that as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. It does not say that as many as believed were appointed to eternal life, but that as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. They were not appointed because they believed. They believed because they were appointed. And so it was with Lydia. She paid attention to what was said by Paul because the Lord opened her heart. The opening of the heart. It is the Lord's work, not ours. The Lord opened her heart, and what she heard she received with faith. And not only did she believe, but she was baptized. But Lydia was not baptized alone. We read that she was baptized and her household as well. And so we see the truth of that promise that we find on the day of Pentecost when the Apostle Peter proclaims to the house of Israel, the promise is for you and for your children. And that promise is not only for the Jew, it is also for the Gentile. And it is not only for the children of Israel, but the children of the nations. And so it was that Lydia was baptized, and also her house. But here we seem to learn something else about Lydia. It would appear that she was without a husband. But this household is spoken of as her household, and no mention is made of her husband. And when we understand this, We begin to see the whole story in a new light. We go back and we read it again. The urgency to come to Macedonia. Going outside the gate on the Sabbath day to a place where women would be gathered, and that place being by a river. There is a history in the scriptures of seeking and finding a bride in such places. The earliest story in that history concerns the servant of Abraham, who was sent by his master to find a bride for his son. And as that servant goes, where does he find her? He finds her by a spring of water. But why was he there? Why was he beside this spring of water? Consider his prayer in Genesis chapter 24, verses 12 and 13. And he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, behold, I am standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Let the young woman to whom I shall say, please let down your jar that I may drink, and who shall say, drink, let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master. Why was this servant of Abraham standing by a spring of water? Because he knew that the women of that place would gather there. And so it was that Paul went to the riverside, because he knew that the women of that place would be gathered there. Why did he go? Because he was sent by his master to seek a bride for his son. And he spoke to Lydia, and her heart was opened. And as Rebecca did not hesitate to give herself to Isaac, so Lydia here does not hesitate to give herself to Christ. And being baptized, she takes his name as her own. Now, what happened to the servant of Abraham after he discerned that Rebecca was the bride appointed for Isaac? Rebecca's family urged him to do what? They urged him to come into their house and stay. And there they showed him great hospitality. And so it is here with Lydia's house. After it became clear that the Lord had appointed her as a bride for his son. She urged these servants of the master to come to her house and stay. And even in her urging, we hear marital language, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And so they did, for she prevailed upon them. They came to the house of this woman, betrothed to the Lord, and there they stayed with her. And here it is right to pause and to consider for a moment the place of women in the church. Here we see that they do not hold a lesser status in the church, such that they are not permitted to offer hospitality, or such that their hospitality may not be received. It may be received, and not only by other women, but by all. Indeed, we see in the women of the church something that must be true of us all, male and female. We see in the women of the church what it means to be a bride. For the church is the bride of Christ. And we must all learn what it means to be his bride. How ought we then to see those who labor as ministers of the word? We ought to see them as friends of the bridegroom, as those who have been sent by the Father to seek a bride for his son. And that bride is the church. And so they labor with this knowledge that whomever the Father has chosen for his son will be given to his son. They speak his words with this assurance that whoever belongs to him will hear his voice, and the heart of that one will not remain closed, but the Lord himself will open it. And so we rest in his sovereignty. We rest in the sovereignty of God. He is sovereign over the gospel. He is sovereign over its preaching. He is sovereign over its hearing. He is sovereign over our salvation. He is sovereign over all things. By his grace, he has chosen us as a bride for his son. Let us then not hesitate to give ourselves to him and to glory in his name. Amen.